Well, we've talked about Ken Navarro and Marion Meadows and your solo records, but what was it like working with Chiellini, Minucci, and special effects?
Well, you know, I mean, it's amazing. Special effects, I was a real fan of them, of special effects, you know, a real big fan before I started working with Chiellini.
Mm-hmm.
And I met Chiellini when I had a production deal with the people who were responsible for getting Nelson Rangel his first recording contract.
Mm-hmm.
And they knew Chiellini. They were doing some other projects with Chiellini, and they had him come in to play some guitar on what were my demos,
mm-hmm.
you know, that they were then going to shop and try and get me a record deal with. You know, so we met. This was around 1991, and we actually played some gigs with an artist who Chiellini had produced, a singer named Heather Mullen,
mm-hmm.
who was amazing. I mean, an amazing singer. You know, not really, kind of somebody who fell into the music business, who had no ambition, you know, and isn't doing music anymore.
Mm.
You know, it's really, it was very, you know, it's kind of funny how that happened. I never met a person who was less ambitious and who could have been was successful,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then just really didn't want it. But that's how Chiellini and I met. You know, what eventually, you know, we did one gig with Heather. This is 1992.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't actually play again till 1995 when we were both working with Marion Meadows. It was a package show out west at a place called Kimball's, out west at a place called Kimball's East in Emeryville, California,
okay.
near San Francisco.
Mm.
It was Marion, Phil Perry, and Chiellini.
Mm-hmm.
And I played with Chiellini, and then a couple months later, he was just doing, you know, a bunch of starting his solo career,
right?
You know, away from special effects. He had me do some shows with him, and we've been playing together ever since. You know, I started out being his sub keyboard player, and then
mm-hmm.
pretty much, you know, the gig was, I became the first call guy, like, I'd say late 1999,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that's how it's been since then, and it's been great. You know, it's been, I've been recording, I probably recorded with him. The first record I did was the record with, the red cover, with the model on the front, with him looking at the model.
Sweet on You.
Yeah, Sweet on You. Yep, that was the first record I played on with him. And then I played on Butterfly, and then Got It Going On, I'm on that, and I'm on Night Grooves.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that, Night Grooves.
Yeah, yeah. And
were you on Party?
I wasn't on Party.
Oh, okay.
Party was a record that he did very quickly, and there's only three people on Party.
Oh.
Well, Jerry Brooks may have played on a few things, but
mm-hmm.
it's mostly Chiellini, Dave Mann, and then Emmadine Rivera on percussion.
Okay. But you were on Got It Going On, and you've been touring with him.
Yeah, and we, you know, we did the DVD.
Mm, yes, that's right. Tell us about that. A Night with Chiellini, Minucci, and special effects.
Well, that was a pretty amazing experience. We it was the perfect timing for us to do that DVD because we had just played for like a week at Iridium in New York,
mm-hmm.
and so the band was tighter than it had ever been, you know, in the years that I've been working with them. You know, we were ready to do this DVD. So we played at Iridium, and then a week later, we went to Toronto
mm-hmm.
to record the DVD. Now, it was going to be done very quickly. It was totally live. We were playing, it was done like we were playing a live show.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no overdubs. I mean, actually, well, we could have fixed things if we wanted to, but we did it. It was like we were off the plane at the studio, played for an hour and a half. You know, I mean, they set up very quickly. And then we were back on the plane, you know, and then off to Detroit the next day.
Mm.
And here's a funny thing that, you know, it wasn't funny at the time, but it's amazing how in a potentially adverse situation, your adrenaline can pull you through. My keyboard that I usually use, that I have everything programmed on,
mm-hmm.
did not make it on the flight.
Oh.
Luckily, they had a very similar keyboard that I had once owned before,
mm-hmm.
You know, Roland keyboards usually they make their synthesizers with certain sounds, and when they make a new model, a lot of the sounds carry over into the next model. So my XP30 didn't show up, but an XP50 was there, and I was able to program it, you know, with the sounds that I normally use with special effects, and was able to do the DVD and have it sound the way it sounded. I was very happy with how it came out. You know, Chiellini's longtime engineer, Paul Wycliffe, is the one who mixed it, and he did an amazing job mixing that DVD. It sounds great, and it was one of the highlights for me on the DVD was the song Daybreak.
Yes.
Because that was, you know, as a fan of special effects, that was always one of my favorite songs. And in all honesty, it was like a dream come true to be able to get to play that song live. That's one of the great rewards for me of the business, is when, you know, things like that get to happen.
Yes, that was a great track on there, Daybreak. I loved your solo there. It was
thanks.
Yeah,
it took a while. You know, it took a while to do that. On the original record, it was a great jazz pianist named Kenny Werner who played on it, and you know, I always liked that solo that he played, and you know, and it was nice to, you know, be able to put my own thing on it as well.
Okay, now what do I... Let's see. Well, my question on here was, what other artists have you recorded with? But you've told me already, so...
Well, there's a little bit more. I mean, you know, Eric, the new sax player who's coming up, Eric Darius.
Okay.
I'm on his debut record that Ken Navarro also produced. That's another record. You know, Eric was an up-and-coming sax player from Tampa, Florida. You know, very, very good, strong young player. We did that record. I mean, we knew he was going to put it out. We didn't know it was going to come out on Narada, and that he'd become, you know, he's really one of the hottest new stars in contemporary jazz right now. He's playing all the time with Brian Culbertson, and well, he's doing a lot of his own shows. He's written up in magazines every month. You see an Eric Darius article somewhere, and he's really taken off. And it's, you know, I'm proud to have been a part of his debut record that put him on the map.
We're talking with Jay Rowe here on the Mike Shamari Show on Web Radio WCWP. Jay, what are your fans like?
Well, you know, smooth jazz fans are really it's a somewhat older audience. You know, I would say an older professional audience
and a younger advanced audience than me.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know, it's like we would like to see younger fans. We hope the music reaches younger fans. A band like Special Effects is really not quite as smooth as some other bands.
Yeah.
There's a certain high energy thing, you know, we hope to attract as wide an audience as possible. I mean, that's really, I think this music has the potential to do that. You know, when we were in our 20s, you know, we started out listening to rock and then got into jazz by way of, you know, people like Jeff Beck and John McLaughlin, Chick Corea and Return to Forever. And that was a very...
And then the Chick Corea Electric Band.
Yeah, that's right. And then, and that extended further, really, with the Rippingtons and David Benoit.
Yeah.
But what happened, and I don't have any qualms in being totally honest about this, you know, commercial jazz radio became more and more conservative, and some of the music, you know, really became kind of almost compressed, you know, like where the energy was sort of taken out of it, and it can only have so much energy. The funny thing is that when you know, people, when the fans see the live shows, they love the energy, and often the comment is, wow, there's so much more energy here than there is on the record. Or with the new fans, you know, the people who become new to this music, you know, once they see it live, they love it. You know, I think a younger audience would be drawn in more if the music was allowed to be on record as energetic as it is live, you know. That's really what it is. But the fans are—it's a very professional audience. You know, it's It's a friendly audience. You know, they're very smooth jazz is one of the areas of music where, you know, the fans really have accessibility to the artist. And I think it's a good thing. I think it's, you know, good to be able to relate to the people who are listening to and buying mm-hmm. your music. You know, it's nice to get that positive feedback
exactly
way up close. And it's becoming more that way. You know, there's certain, you know, rock artists who have begun to kind of adopt the same philosophy as mm-hmm. the contemporary jazz artists as far as, you know, meeting their fans and mm-hmm. being accessible. You know, it's kind of a good business strategy in a way. I mean, it's nice just to meet, you know, good people, but it's also, you know, when you establish a relationship with the people you're entertaining who are buying your product, there gets to be a certain loyalty, you know, artist mm-hmm. loyalty there, I think, that, you know, really sustains an artist's career as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, our last question, you're going to be part of the Chiele Minucci and Musicians for a Cause Jazz Cruise this November. Are you looking forward to it?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely. The cruises, once again, is a way to really meet your fans, you know, and gain new fans.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great thing that's happened within contemporary jazz, and I always look forward to doing the cruises. They're great, and this is really going to be great because we have so many artists on board all in one shot. You know?
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be pretty amazing with Gerald Beasley and Jay Beckinsale,
mm-hmm.
Phil Perry, Kim Waters, Nelson Rangel, along with special effects. I mean, that's a hell of a lineup, and it's a lineup you're not going to find on any other cruises this year.
Not even Rick Braun's cruise down of Texas.
Not even Rick.
Or Warren Hills.
Nope.
Or Dave Casas.
It's a really unique cruise, and it's very and it's reasonably priced too. You can go on the website. I mean, on Chiele's website.
Mm-hmm.
There's a link. There's also a link to it from my website.
And there's a link on my website, too.
Yep. Yeah, it's a very reasonably priced. I recommend that everybody goes because I can tell you from past experience, this is a real bang for the buck.
Mm-hmm.
And it's for a good cause. It's the National Coalition Against Domestic Violence, which, you know, raises people's awareness about those things. And it's nice to be part of a worthy cause.
Absolutely.
And there's no other cruises, I don't think, that are doing anything for charity either.
Mm.
So it's another reason to,
right,
to, no pun intended, get on board.
Right. Oh. Yeah. Well, that's as good a note as any to close up this interview. Jay, it's been a pleasure, and it's been quite an interview. I've learned quite a bit, and I'm sure you've learned a little bit about me. Well,
Mike, you're like Orson Welles. You have the voice of Orson Welles.
Yes.
At 24. Same age Orson was when he did Citizen Kane.
Oh, yes.
No, he was 26 when it finally got made.
Right. See, again, I'm learning. We're both learning stuff about each other in this interview, which is now come to an end. This has been Jay Rowe here on the Mike Shamiri Show, and up next, something from Red Hot and Smooth.